This is the Greater Greener Georgia podcast. Joining us today for our Meet the Candidate series is Michelle Kang, candidate for State House District 99. Our host, Mia Delamar, talks with Michelle about public transit, families, and her plans for a cleaner, more sustainable Georgia. If you'd like to know who's on your ballot and what they stand for, you can visit gcv.branch.vote for your personalized voter guide to help you build a ballot and make an informed decision. Again, that's gcv.branch.vote. Now, with that being said, enjoy the show.
I'm running for House District 99, encompassing Suwannee, parts of Duluth, and Sugar Hill.
Awesome. So I usually always get started off with a more fun question or something about our human side. So what is either one of your favorite dishes to make or one of your favorite restaurants to eat in your district? Or you can say both.
Actually, I'm a Korean American, yes. So there's just so many Korean barbecue restaurants in my district. Oh, everybody so loves it. And then, you know, restaurant atmosphere, mm-hmm. and then it's very like cutting edge and hip, and right. then big screens on the wall,
all the
and a few food on the table. So it's just like, I love it.
Yeah, I love Korean barbecue as well. So question is, because I've passed through Korea when I'm traveling. I think I was going to China and I had to pass through and had a layover there. Okay, is Korean barbecue in Korea, like, or is that like a thing that we do here? Because I know sometimes we'll have Americanized things that are not like true to the actual culture. So do you guys have those big kind of Korean barbecue, you know, restaurants like we have here with all the TVs and all the videos? Is it the same?
I think so. Samgyeopsal, like a thick like pork belly, is all mukbang, you know.
Yeah.
I think because, you know, Korea and it's getting physically closer.
Yeah.
So their culture is very quickly transferring to here Atlanta area.
Yeah.
I think it's almost same.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so
awesome.
We enjoy the culture.
So it's authentic
Korean.
Yeah,
Korean barbecue.
I always try to make sure it's authentic because sometimes we'll vary, you know, they'll Americanize things for us or do things. We'll be like, oh, people be like, that's not really how we do it. And be like, but it's actually true
it
to
is.
The culture.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Awesome. So what are your top three legislative priorities if you're elected?
So my district is very incredibly diverse and majority-minority district. So 33% Asian, 14% African-American, and 10% Hispanic. So my top three priorities are serving everybody and every voices in my district. So the biggest issue is housing, lower housing cost. And the second one is economic mobility. We're talking about the supporting small business, vocational schools, and public transportation. That's my economic mobility. And third one is just protecting rights. Like, I'm all for it, advocating, restoring reproductive freedom. That's my top three.
Absolutely. And then your stance on the economic development and job creation in the state. What do you plan to help expand that, and what's your stance on it?
Sure. So as you, I'm a first-generation Korean-American. In Georgia, actually, the South Korean corporation, the huge company like Hyundai, Kia, Hanwha Qcell, and SK Battery, they are the major employer, and then the huge investment coming from the South Korea. So I want to have them create more jobs here because I can be the like a middle person bridge builder in Georgia economy and the Korean company coming from South Korea. So asking for more job creation and transitioning, there's like a different culture differences, and you know, they need to practice like adoption here in America, especially in Georgia. So I could be in the middle of those two entities and creating more jobs and just like an easier transitioning, getting the job, people apply for the jobs for those EV plan like a Hyundai, mm-hmm. and, you know, batteries, like, you know, that's the job I can push, especially in Georgia is the one like a one of the hub state for EV vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my portion, my part can do in creation of the jobs and increasing and advocating and economic mobility. So vocational school, especially in Gwinnett County, there's a technical school, mm-hmm. like a Gwinnett Technical College. Mm-hmm. So, you know, related to EV manufacturing, there's right. many courses over there. Mm-hmm. So just encouraging and giving the fund, you know, we need to inject the money to support the students study over there and get skill set and everything and get out and get the job, be a like a skilled like manufacturer working at right. the plant is a right. huge plant. That's one of my, you know, portion part I can do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then what are your plans on addressing environmental concerns and then promoting sustainability in our
yeah. state? So actually I'm very all for reducing plastic usage.
Mm-hmm. Single use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So when you travel Asia countries mm-hmm. and then we are doing very well on recycling, yeah. mm-hmm. plastic recycling. But I see the difference in here as well because we use plastic everywhere. We go to school lunchtime, mm-hmm. you know, they're just one time use the single use plastic trays yeah. and everything is just thrown with the food.
Right.
So there's no chance for recycling or anything. So reducing plastic usage and then like more efficient recycling, mm-hmm. that's my all for it. And then what about the like supporting and expanding public transportation
yeah.
for reduced pollutions and reduce the traffic congestion and like less emission. So that's I want to push it because every day every person has a power to do something differently. Mm-hmm. So you know, at home, at school, at work, we can do something. That's what I want to push for.
Absolutely, and you're supporting the Gwinnett Transit referendum as
of
well.
Of course, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So we've been talking about the Gwinnett. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, Gwinnett transportation referendum. It's all the way bottom on the ballot this election cycle,
yes,
because we've been talking about the population growth, very rapid population growth, especially in Gwinnett County. So we hit 1 million population, but we are expecting 500,000 more to people coming in Gwinnett County to live in. So that means more single driver, more single car, that means more congestion. So we have to stay in the car more longer hours and then wasting our time and gas and energy and everything.
Yeah.
We have to pass and then expansion of bus transit inside of Gwinnett County. So I want everybody look down to the bottom of the ballot and say and, you know, express your vote and cast your ballot on the transportation referendum.
Absolutely. And it's a huge undertaking. We're actually, DCV is actually a part of the coalition that's helping to lead that on the education around
Please.
It and
yeah.
handing out walk cards in the counties that we're canvassing in. And I think it's super important because it gives that full circle of just helping out the city
right.
that you're in and, you know, being able to leave your house and take public transportation as opposed mm-hmm. to you single-handedly getting into your car every day and maybe spending two hours to get to work and 2 hours to get back because our traffic everywhere is bad. It's not just Atlanta proper, but Metro Atlanta, especially Gwinnett. The traffic is really a lot.
Because the Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson Airport mm-hmm. is the biggest airport in the country.
Uh-huh.
There's just so much traffic from north to get to the airport.
Yes.
That makes congestion. Then if you have like a public transportation to bring people from the north to the airport, that reduce the number of cars on the road and it reduce the time on the travel and reduce the emission and pollution and everything.
Absolutely. So how do you plan to support Georgia's agriculture industry with also addressing the environmental concerns that we have
sure.
in the state?
So there's a lot of money, federal government, state government, you know, have to fund the like farmers
mm-hmm.
and then we're talking about the like eco-friendly farming practices,
right.
like crop rotations mm-hmm. and then let's say water conservation
right.
and do things. I think it's just a practical issue. And then that way we can support the farmers because, you know, we love crops, local crops,
right.
more healthier,
yeah.
organic, mm-hmm. organic produce. So the more we support them, the more healthier produce like come to our table, right. And then it serves us as a, you know, benefiting our health, our children's health, mm-hmm. and all over the economy.
Absolutely. And then what is your stance on renewable energy in Georgia? And then what steps will you take to promote it throughout the state and office?
Right. So we've been talking about the solar panel. Mm-hmm. So I think state government give us more funding, and when it's like more funding and let's say with incentives, and then you know businesses and homeowners can install the solar panel, and then actually the builders, they have to use the full solar panel when they build the house.
Right.
Then we don't, the homeowners, we don't need to go process like a change the solar panel, because that's a lot of work, right? So I think we need to work with a builder, general contractor, put the solar panel when they build the new homes that increase more usage of the solar panel.
Right.
Then Georgia is a good environment and wind, you know, reusable energy
wind
resource,
power.
Like a wind as well. So I think we need to concentrate those than the fuel fossil, you know, as an energy resource. We have a lot to do because people still not aware of the solar panel, you know, what's the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. And then homeowner can benefit of it, you know, monetarily.
Yeah.
But that information is not out there yet. People don't know about it. And then I think the solar panel, especially Hanwha Qcells, they are solar panel manufacturer mm-hmm. in Georgia.
Right.
Then they are the biggest solar panel manufacturer actually across the country. So they are located in here in Georgia,
right.
And then we need to have the benefit, you know, using their solar panel installed on our roof to save the energy.
Yeah, and GCV was a part of a program with Georgia Bright, helping to get solar panels on homes, you know, mm-hmm. across Metro Atlanta and across Georgia for families that make under $150,000. So check that out. We still have that going on. You guys can be a part of that program. But solar is definitely an opportunity for businesses and homes.
You have so much.
We have so much. So many. We're building so much.
Right.
So we might as well integrate it and make it a thing. Like, hey, if you put solar on your house when you're building a new construction home, you get an incentive. So I think that's really a smart way to, you know, incentivize and get people to start utilizing solar panels on their newer construction. So we have houses that are new that already have it, and all we're going to is trying to bring all the other older homes up to date and up to speed on getting that, you know, getting that release and relief on their utilities from solar.
Of course.
If elected, how do you plan to protect the safety and the future of Georgia's children?
Actually, I'm just came from Rally for Appalachia. It is heartbreaking that children not feel safe going to school anymore.
Yeah.
They think it could be last day to see their father, mother, and their siblings and their families.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to do, just pass the safe storage bill,
mm-hmm.
because it was blocked by Republican majority mm-hmm. in both chambers
mm-hmm.
and by Governor Brian Trump and
Brian Kemp.
And so the first thing on my list is just pass the bill. Actually, that was not, even though it was introduced,
mm-hmm.
it was not discussed.
Mm-hmm.
It was blocked. It didn't go to committee floor.
Committee. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have to have like a grassroots force to push it from the student and from like a families and everybody to put those safe storage bill to go on the floor,
right.
And we can vote to pass. So that's the first thing I want to do, and that's for the safety for the whole community, families and children, everybody. I want our children feel safe going to school.
Awesome. How do you plan to support lower income families and then address the income inequality in our state?
Yeah, so I'm pushing $15 per hour. Raising
the
minimum wage and
mm-hmm.
livable wage, because we are all working families.
Absolutely.
But we are having a hard time to pay the bill, because sometimes we have to, because the rent prices are so high right now.
Right.
So we have to struggle between, you know, paying the rent or to put the food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So livable wage and to raise the minimum wage, because we are all working families. And what about the we support like a child care support, like a pre-K? So it's a chunk of money, a lot of money. So expensive.
Very expensive.
Very expensive. So just supporting child care, you know, sending children daycare, the supporting money. And what about the we pay, government pay from the pre-kindergarten to the public like education up to the secondary education, like in a college in Georgia public schools. So no money to be, you know, spent on the education. They can save money on paying the tuition or anything to save money to spend something else for their future.
Right.
So that's what I'm pushing for, advocating, and paid leave, paid sick leave, paid maternity leave. You know, we have family member who could be sick, and then we have to stay, take care of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because we have to, this is more likely supporting the family members and the community member from the government. Mm-hmm. We need to be paid for taking care of our sick family members.
Yeah.
So paid family leave and paid maternity leave, that's the one I'm pushing for it as well.
I love that. I think that that's also a sector that people don't think about is the family members who have an elderly parent that has stroke who, you know, can no longer walk or can't operate on their own, or they don't want a nurse coming in to take care of them. No, they want their children or the people that they're comfortable with to be around them. And those people, you know, have to take off work or quit their job or relocate and be there for their parents and, you know, in their older age or their spouses or whomever. And having an incentive to where you can get the help that you need and the assistance is the difference between, you know, bankruptcy or actually living comfortable life. A lot of families go into debt when they have a family member that gets sick, because you don't realize how expensive that therapy, doctor's visits, making, if you didn't have a handicap accessible car, you have to rent one or buy one, which are very expensive to have. And so not taking into account, you know, what it truly takes to be able to be a caregiver and having benefits when you do become one and being covered under our, you know, under our government's policies and things like that. So I think that that is a super duper important thing in our equality there. How do you plan to address racial and social justice issues?
So I'm a woman of color, an immigrant, and then a member of minorities. Mm-hmm. So that's, I have my skin in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the very affected community member. So I'm in your shoes, on your side, pushing for it. So racial justice, we've been talking about systemic racial discrimination and everything. So like, let's say for business wise, there's a disparity getting the government procurement. There's a disparity, like a racial disparity there, because the government is the biggest employment. And then what about the people of color trying to get a business with the government that cannot pass the gate at all, because there's just some established relationship and network, we cannot get into it, we cannot penetrate it. So those things, you know, especially for, because I'm advocating for small business as well. So it's like a catch 22. You don't have any proven experience or proven any record, you cannot get in. How can we get that experience or a proven record if you cannot get any contract with the government?
Exactly.
So yeah, so we need to crash that one, you know, the gate being the gate. We need to crash it and get into it, build the skill set and the experience, and then, you know, getting the bigger, just grow the bigger as a, you know, from the small business to the like a mid-sized business and the bigger business. So that's the one we want to tackle, you know, racial disparity on the government business procurement.
Absolutely. And the city of Atlanta and then Georgia in general has a, like, the home of small businesses and business owners. A lot of entrepreneurs reside here. What would be your perfect Georgia for a small business owner?
For a small business owner, I want them to have access to capital and then increase capital as well.
Right.
Okay, so you have money. Federal government has money, state government has money, local government has money. but people don't know how to access and how they don't know how to apply for it.
Right.
So the more information needs to be disseminated as well. That there's a people they need, but they don't know about it. So more community outreach, more community involvement, more community engagement. We need to make more effort to reach out to people who really desperately need. So that's the one I want to push for it, because I'm my first language is Korean, and then that's my mother tongue. And then in my district, almost like there's 40 different languages spoken in my district.
Yeah.
And then there's not English, let's say, not non-English proficient people living in, and then they running the business as well.
Right.
So they have a language barrier to access the information.
Yeah.
It's not translated in their language, so they don't know, and then they cannot understand what it is. But there's not so much money in there. So for example, Small Business Administration, they have a lot of money. They want to disseminate and disperse the money they have, but people don't apply for it,
right,
because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know about it. So I think the access to capital, and then that's the first thing, and increase the capital. You know, we have government, each level of government has money to support the small businesses. So how that money effectively disseminate between the small businesses, let's say, and then people, the small business owner who speaks some other language than English, that people literally the backbone of the, you know, the economy of the nation, then they need to be replenished with the money they need to run the businesses. Because, you know, even little mom and pop shop, we go there having a good time there. They have a very specific, let's say, merchant that never shown anywhere because so specific, so special. And then, you know, some mom and pop restaurant, you know. So I think supporting small business is very important for us,
right,
to grow the economy and then quality of life for every small business. They have their own family and their children. They hire people. So, you know, help them to pay their employees for the quality of life their employees. I think that's the overall we increase the quality of life across Georgia.
So how do you plan to increase transparency and accountability in our government?
When I elected, I want to have like a town hall meeting. You know, everybody come in and to share what legislature was introduced and what will be introduced. You know, we are working on what legislature, and then what is the outcome? Why it didn't pass? Something like that. So like a transparency, accountability. But, you know, as a Democratic nominee, we introduce a lot of bills to benefit people living in Georgia. But it's blocked, stopped, because we are minority in House chamber, and sometimes the same thing, House chamber,
Senate
chamber, we are minority. So that's why we are pushing for Democratic majority, both chamber, to pass the bill, because that's the bill that we produce is benefiting people living in Georgia.
Right.
So why people could ask, you know, a Democratic elected official, why you didn't keep your promise? We want to, but we introduced the bill, it blocked or stopped. That's the reason. I have all elected official friends, and then they're working so hard, but because we are, you know, they are the Republican, they are outnumbers our numbers.
Right.
So that's why it's locked. It's not we are not working, but we are not able to pass because we are still minority. So that's why we need elect more Democratic of a candidate this year to build a Democratic base and the Democratic majority. You know, we're talking about 2030 project. You know, 2030, we don't want to have any gerrymandering anymore.
Yeah.
We need to pass the bill benefiting the people, everybody living in Georgia, across Georgia. So that's why we are working very hard, especially this election year, we need to pick up more seats from the Democratic candidates to flip back the seat, keep the seat. And that's why we are working very hard, you know, every day from the morning to night, because we really need to pick up the seat from both chamber to become a majority.
Awesome. So what has been your most favorite thing about campaigning over these past, I don't know how long have you had your campaign?
So I launched my campaign January 9th.
Yeah.
So let's say 9 months, going to be 10 months soon, like 10 days
yes.
later. So I'm a people person. So I love meeting people,
right.
meeting new people. So when you're knocking the door, at the door, you introduce yourself and then speaking with the, you know, real people,
yeah.
real people. So I heard from them what's their concern and then what they are struggling about. That's the best part. And then that information and that conversation transforming and transitioning to the like bills and to bring it to the Gordon. So that's the real ample opportunity for me to hear. And then any kind of public gatherings, like conversation, dialogue, and especially I meet with young voters a lot in the field.
Right.
So, you know, they are worrying about their future housings and, you know, jobs and how they're struggling to pay the bill, you know, worrying about their future. Right now, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then those experiences, the conversation, and then getting, you know, support them and then to bring more quality life for them. That's my biggest concern. And that's the, like, a precious time of me to meeting people, hearing people. You know, that's the best thing I ever done here in this year for the district election cycle.
I love that. Yeah, meeting people at the doors. I think that's one of the heart of any political yeah. campaign is the people. And so anybody that's a good politician or a person that works in politics knows that it starts with the people, and that's where the power lies, and that's
right.
where the issues lie. And that's where the heart of all campaigns lie. So where can everybody find you? Where can they follow you on social media?
Let sure. So my website address is michellekang4ga.com. Then if you Google Michelle Kang, Georgia, then you have my X, and then TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, everything has come up. So follow me, and then we are very diligent on posting on social media content, one in the morning, one afternoon, because we are doing so much. And then it's just a lot of things going on in my district and across Georgia, especially after September 4th, the Palachi tragedy. So we are very pushing for the gun safety measure. So everything I do with the community is on social media. Just follow me on social media and michellekang4ga.com for my website.
Awesome. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today on the chair.
Thank you very much.
I hope you had a good time with us. Thank you.
Thank you.